Okay, I think it's recording. Hello? There we go. That's what I was waiting to hear. All right. Hey, here we are. Guardians Party Line. We're back. It's Alyssa and Allie and Hunter Gaddis joining us just after exiting the mound. Unexpected entry, at least early in the game for Hunter, but he's here on the podcast. How is this happening? What's going on, Hunter?
Well, howdy everyone. I'm using my psychic powers to communicate with you right now. This is actually a projection. I'm sitting in the clubhouse in Minnesota and just kind of projected myself in front of my laptop for you.
Oh, astral
I think it
projection.
was really cool of you to hand over the reins to Sam Hentges so you could get on the podcast.
I also want my boy Sammy to get the win, so 11th and fifth.
Oh, how kind. Now, tell me, how does it change your approach? This is a Paul Hoynes question. How does it
Oh
change your
no.
approach? How does it change your approach when you get thrust into the game in the second inning, Hunter, when you think you might be expected to go in the fifth? Do you just not worry about throwing good pitches and just throw stuff?
Well, my concerns with my boy Gavin there. I hope everyone's all right with him. It's never good when I have to come in early. I'm supposed to be a later in the game type of dude for this team right now. So my goal is then, but team needed me, so I did my best to step up and keep the lead.
That's amazing. And Hunter, you have played a big role in this game, currently being 3-1. It's incredible. So props to you. A lot of people on Twitter are doing some Hunter Gaddis appreciation tonight. So good for you.
He's not the step gad, he's the gad that stepped up.
Never more than tonight.
Oh, that was a good one.
Was a good one.
I'm glad it went that way. When the game came on, the picture, no introduction, no updates, nothing. Matt Underwood just goes, this is not good. Or no, it was just, that's bad. And that was your introduction to the game. Sorry, Hunter Gaddis, way to prove him wrong.
Well, luckily I can't hear the TV while I'm out there, so.
I'm sure, Hunter, he just meant that it was bad that Williams is out. I'm sure everyone lights up when they see you and your stunning visage. So
Is the shaking the arm in the room with us?
yeah, where the heck is Mike tonight to be called out on the carpet every time something happens? Mike, always with the worst possible outcome. We're like, why was Gavin taken out? Oh, it's probably precautionary. That's me trying to say precautionary 15 times to make it true. And then Mike's like, oh, who said, somebody was like, oh, Underwood said it wasn't a big deal. And Mike's like, he probably didn't see Williams shake his arm. And we're all like, what?
And we're like, none of us saw that.
Turns out
I
that
was like,
Mike
was I not watching? I was, though.
is just full of
All right,
crap.
guys, I'm about to be insufferable because I have the Jays game also on my computer here. And
Is
Ernie
Kwan up?
Clement, my good friend here, is up at bat.
Stephen Kwan just got a single.
In a disgusting manner.
There's a prospect guy
Oh, wait, no, I
that
was watching Arias. I'm behind on my TV.
oh.
So good to
Yeah,
know.
I thought Arias might be
I'm
safe.
behind too. I just watched a replay.
Oops.
Spoiler.
There's a prospect guy I like a lot who's always been a big Ernie Clement fan. So if he really is turning things around, that guy's gonna be able to take a nice
Oh,
victory
wait,
lap.
no, they're having Varsho pinch hit for him.
What?
If
No
anyone
way.
wants to discuss how Ernie Clement turned his season around, I would love, not even his season, his whole bat. I would love to talk about it because I've been saying it since April, and I'm not exaggerating because it's me. I wouldn't exaggerate that, but nobody took me seriously, so
You saw it
I'm happy I'm right.
before anyone else. Props.
You knew.
Yeah. She just
You
knew.
knew.
I knew I'd support him last year. I know people had their issues with that. People would just come out and harass me for it. But yeah, now I'm like, I'm right. You guys were wrong. And I was on this train a long time ago. Don't suddenly, I mean, yes, support him, but don't act like you've been doing that all along.
You tell them. Well, guys, I also have been paying attention to Columbus in the meantime. And Jose Tania has another two hits. This guy, he just gets 2 to 3 hits every game. I just think it'd be so funny if, like, oh, we're all like Arias, Rocchio, Freeman, and then Jose Tania just continues to put up a 1.1 at Columbus and earns
And
himself a
Juan Brito
shortstop spot.
eventually.
Juan Brito, he's been on a roll. Yep, he's been.
I think I don't have room in my brain or my heart for all of these shortstops to play well. I don't know how to process it. And then when Antonetti said that, what did he say? That Arias, Rocchio, and Freeman were all going to be here next year? What does that mean? That means no one else.
I thought it was weird. In the middle of the double header, like there was no announcement. It was just, oh wait, where'd Rocchio
Not here.
go?
Yeah.
The Jose Tana situation is very interesting because I get, especially given how he started the year, he looked like he'd be one of the first guys out. Because he was repeating at Double A and he's got four guys ahead of him for middle infield. But kudos to him for turning around. It seems the stint in the majors really just woke up his bat, and he's been on a tear ever since he got optioned to Columbus.
I was at his first major league start where he also had his first hit, his first RBI. And it was like, I know he was just up like temporarily, and that was always the plan. But it was like, oh, okay, this kid's already getting his first out of the way. Like, whoa.
I was there for his major league debut, which is probably one of the greatest stories he'll ever tell.
Right,
Like,
because
he was
nobody
a
was paying
pinch
attention to
runner for
that.
Jose Ramirez after Jose got thrown out of a game for knocking Tim Anderson out.
Yeah, that is a pretty great debut story. Hard to top.
All this talk about these shortstops made me think, like, who needs a ton of prospects? Like, does anyone just need like five
The
AAA
Angels.
exactly. That's where I was going with this. Can we trade four shortstops for Mike Trout, even though shortstop's like the one position the Angels don't need to fill? Why not?
Well, they do need a third baseman and a second baseman, and at some
Are
point,
they are
guys
done with
could.
Anthony Rendon? Like, is that over? I mean,
Oh,
it's been over, but is it really? Okay.
yeah.
It's
So,
Rosario over.
yeah, they could definitely use a couple guys to put on the infield still, even if Zach Neto is the answer, which he did look pretty good. I thought it was funny how Tom Hamilton kept talking about how much Antonetti and Chernoff wanted to draft Zach Neto, like. Somebody's got to stop these guys.
Where
Every
are they?
single shortstop they see.
Whoops. All
Got
shortstops.
any of them shortstops left?
Some tells me that one of the eight that we have might compare a little bit to him. I don't know. Gotta be a way.
One of the eight.
I like so many of them. Like, obviously, it's hard not to be in love with Arias right now. I mean, the guy's hitting great and he's an amazing defender. Freeman. They'll just bury him on the bench for 3 days, put him in a game, and he'll get 2 hits.
Thinking about when Tyler had his first major league home run the other day, and it was as soon as I turned my TV on because I was in leadership training, and I tweeted about it because it's cool to see guys on your team get their first home run. This guy comes out of nowhere. He doesn't even follow me. He comes out of nowhere, tells me like I'm dumb for getting excited. I'm like, well, it's his first major league hit. It's kind of a big deal. He's like, but we're losing. And I'm like, sir, we have to score runs in order to win. That was a run. And then because we didn't score with bases loaded, no outs, he called me dumb and the B word. And then
Oh,
he
geez.
blacked me because I said, I'm adding a new title next to Fangirl on my resume. I took it really well and he didn't like that. So he blacked me.
They hate it when you take things well.
They do. And I've been winning, so.
I am constantly astounded by men on the internet. I'm just
Yeah.
constantly astounded. Like, why?
And then my two favorite players took it upon themselves to do really well. So I'm
Yeah.
winning. And there's me and the captains being besties. So
Yeah, the captains are something else on social media, keeping Twitter
it's that
alive.
ownership, and I love it.
Yeah,
that's yeah, great. The pickles. That's
great. I really thought for a second there they were going to take over the Guardians account for a game, and I was incredibly excited about it.
I thought the Guardians responded to them and like agreed to it.
Yeah,
and then it didn't happen, and that was really sad.
It was supposed to happen on Thursday, but then the game got rained out.
Oh, so they probably knew the game was going to get rained out.
Yeah, that's what the captains were saying too.
Like the one day dad lets us take over the account and it's raining.
They always call him dad, which I think is the funniest thing. But they just followed me the other day. I interact with them a lot. I've been told that they love that I interact with them, and I will be seeing them next Friday. So I'm excited.
Well, guys, I think that the Twins have discovered that Minnesota Hinches has come into the game. Because I don't know if you guys remember that he's from the Minneapolis area, I think. And he always pitches like it when he's there. So I saw they got an infield, like a little squibber up the middle off of him, and then a little blooper in the first inning he's been out. And now he's taking no prisoners currently. So that's good to see.
So what
this
I'm
is
hearing
a Sam Hench as we love.
Is his family needs season tickets for the Guardians then?
Or we just need to move our stadium metaphysically to Minnesota. Like do your astral projection thing of the stadium there whenever he's on the mound.
Not to change the subject, but I just watched Terry Francona dump his sunflower seeds onto the top of the dugout.
I was just going to mention that.
Augusta wind and those are all gone. Why can't you eat them out of the bag, Terry?
Why did he do that?
I've never seen that before. He probably does it every night, but it just looked silly, and I'm glad that the camera caught that.
Thinking about when Straw and McKenzie last year, they had this giant container of bubble gums, and they're both like holding it hostage. Like no one could get it from those two.
Yeah. So speaking of beloved Tito, sounds pretty clearly like Tito is thinking of retiring, huh?
Yeah.
So Stephen Kwan, how do you play knowing that your manager said he's going to retire?
I don't. I give up. That's what I do.
Gun's warming up. Sorry, I got excited.
I felt a little better about it than when the next day there were like it was pretty clear that they were just like, yeah. You know, writers were like, yeah, he's pretty much going to retire. He's telling you that. There was a quote the next day that made it real clear. But at the time, it felt like Hoynes was just sucker punching these guys, especially after Tito said, I don't want you to ask the players about it. But doesn't stop the freight train in this Paul Hoynes. So I think Tito's pretty clear. He's leaning towards retirement. Did anybody in here have kind of a preference?
You know,
the job done. Anybody have a
Austin Hedges
replaces him? Austin Hedges. Okay. Yes.
I in a perfect world, Kevin Cash, but I don't think we prime from the Rays, even with the whole situation going down in Tampa right now.
I have a question related to that.
Yeah.
This is not likely, but what are the odds that if the Rays somehow win it all this year, Kevin Cash is like, I've done what I needed to do. I will come to Cleveland.
I think
I'm a Rays fan, despite all the, you know.
I did note people pointed out that Cash is originally from that area of the country, from Tampa Bay area. And also that the other thing people point out is that if he wants to leave Tampa, there are going to be some teams that have a lot of money that might be interested in him. So I guess that all might play into it, but.
Okay, we don't have money, but we do have a good time.
Right. We have David Blitzer.
Yeah.
Right.
And also,
they might pay. They might pay for a manager they want. They might.
They pay for Cash, you know.
We can't pay a manager that much because we're going to have to take on Mike Trout's salary when we trade for him.
Yeah. Right.
And Shohei when we sign him.
Of course. I'd also be interested in Mike Napoli because, you know, obviously the experience with our team, but also he's already, you know, working with the Cubs and everything.
So. I would think that would be so much fun.
And I know at Napoli's again.
Him at all. He's really smart, but I look at him and I think party at Napoli's, and it would probably take me at least until June until I took him seriously and trusted him. And that's probably not fair. He's probably doing great work right now, but I look at him and I see a good time, which I do love.
Do you think Napoli would hire his 2016 teammate to be the bullpen coach, Mr. Brian Shaw?
Oh, I would love that.
Probably.
But also, does Carl have to go anywhere? Or Carl wouldn't leave, right?
I think everybody's basically – I heard him – where were they on the radio the other day? They were talking about how, well, I sure hope Carl Willis sticks around. And I was like, yeah, me too. Do wonder if they might consider him as manager even, which I'm not totally opposed to. Eli, welcome. Welcome. Sorry I didn't get a chance to say hello.
That's okay. Hello. I'm here now, finally.
We're just talking about people we might want to see be Tito's replacement, as it looks like he's kind of leaning towards retirement, sadly. And the Mike Napoli idea is probably a pretty good one. He's supposedly really into analytics, which is good to hear. He's first base coach for the Cubs and notably was a huge influence on Jose Ramirez with base running. It's weird if you go back and look at that Mike Napoli year with Cleveland. Of course, we remember the home runs, but he also was an excellent base runner. Like, not super fast, but very smart. So,
okay, smart but guy. Didn't he once, like, do a really bad slide into third? Was that not a thing?
Yeah, I mean, it may have been. It's such
a long feel like season. That was a thing. And, like, we won and it was fine, but then, like, that was a picture in the clubhouse. The next day. Like, I'm pretty sure that was a thing that happened.
Sounds about right, yeah. Yeah, you know, and I have to give a shout out to my boy, Mike Sarbaugh, who coaches third base. I just love Mike Sarbaugh. I love
especially
seeing
especially after getting suspended. Like, I love that man.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Like, he was ready to get in there and protect Tito from the White Sox. Like, I love that. That's great.
I would be in favor of Sarby or Carl as manager if it meant that kept the other one around, too. Because I like them both and they're cool and they're both great and I want them to stay.
I think if they get someone that has ties to this organization, you know, either as a former player or as a former coach, I don't see them moving Sandy, Sarbaugh, or Willis, knowing just how important those guys are to the team, at least like on a face level value. The one change I could see happening is bench coach, because that is kind of like the main assistant and who replaces the manager if they're out. And there's nothing against DeMarlo Hale. I just think a new coach would want to bring in his own guy.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right about that. Yeah, getting your own bench coach is kind of standard practice, so.
Someone a bit younger, bringing some like youth, obviously not super young, still have experience under their belt, but I think we could just benefit from having someone who's younger and like could stick around longer.
Yeah. And I do wonder if the team might prefer someone younger, just for the sense of with all the health trouble that Tito's had, you kind of run a risk if you get a guy who's in their 60s. What if that happens again? You know, not that you can't hire somebody who's older, but it's like, well, you're kind of increasing the odds of running into that problem again when you do. And, you know, with a young team and a young manager, maybe they can have a nice long run together. The outside candidates, I do want to mention a guy that I like for the Rays bench coach, Linares. Linares. He's Dominican American. So one of the things I think would be cool is to have somebody who's bilingual, who, you know, kind of understands the background of Dominican players, Rodney Linares. So somebody like that might be interesting as well.
Yeah, I'm big on bilingual education. If anyone couldn't tell that I'm bilingual. But I think, and as much as I love Augie, and I think we all do, and obviously he'd stick around, I think having a manager who is bilingual would allow for like a closer connection with the players. So it's not like going through someone is, you know, your manager actually understanding you and being able to fully like express what they want to say to you.
I think another interesting option going along the lines of bilingual is Ruglis Odor. Considering he managed a lot of these guys in Akron. So they have experience playing for him. And it looks like our infield is going to be Venezuelan for the future. So he has a close connection with those guys as well, with Rocchio, Arias, and Jimenez. And, you know, he understands kind of what the Guardians want out of a manager. He wouldn't have to completely overhaul everything especially since like half the team played for him already, the buy into his scheme easier, and it wouldn't be as tough of a transition, I feel, if we get someone completely outside of the organization.
It's a great point. Yeah, a lot of people speak highly of him. Well, sorry, Allie.
Said he might not even have to buy a new house.
Yeah.
You know, I heard Mike Trout is buying a house in Strongsville.
Saw him at Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
Yeah.
That could get him here.
Yep.
I mean, wouldn't it? Okay, if we went after Trout and then Jose is all like buddy-buddy with Shohei, and then like, what if they both came here?
I mean, Otani's favorite player is Jose Ramirez.
I'm just saying, Otani, you need a season to get that UCL in shape. What better place?
Will Brennan the best baseball player of all time? I don't know.
You're ahead of me, so I think Emilio Pagan might be the greatest player of all time.
It might be a combination of both, and him with the infield single and stolen base. He deserves credit for that.
Yes. Good. Well,
I need to send out a Emilio Pagan, my beloved tweet.
So kind of a bad sign for Oscar Gonzalez earlier when they really obviously intentionally pitched around Brennan to get to Gonzalez.
Yeah. And it's
all respect to Will Brennan, but pitchers aren't usually afraid to throw to him.
When they have a mound meeting before Oscar, they're saying, don't even put it in the zone.
Right.
But it makes it easier. I mean, when Josh Naylor comes back, and my timeline was kind of like, you can't bench Cole Calhoun after all this, so what do you do? It's easy to see who's the odd man out, and unfortunately, Cole Calhoun's going to have to play a lot of right field, I think.
Good for the Cole Calhooligans. I got it out. It took me a minute, but I can
say
Cole Calhoun.
Yeah, Josh comes back in DHs if you want to keep him healthy, or if you need defense, Calhoun can DH or whatever. But I mean, I like that the decision is kind of made itself. So there's that.
I know. It's like we thought it would be obvious. Like, okay, what's Calhoun going to do for us? And when Naylor comes back, he's gone. But now, no. No.
Speaking of Calhoun, did anyone else see the fist pump he had when they showed the replay of Jimenez scoring? He's standing at the top of the dugout going, yeah.
My favorite thing was his interview the other day when he got that ball from first to third, and they're like, what's it like playing there? He's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I love how far we've come because remember that first game when those two throws from Rocchio were botched and it was all Cole Calhoun's fault. And I'm glad that he's done enough that we've gotten to a point where he can say, I don't know what I'm doing over there. And we're not mad about it anymore, because we can tell sometimes.
It didn't help that first game that he did that. And admittedly, I was so frustrated because they could have made sure that he didn't have to play for it. It wasn't on Calhoun. It was on Tito to say, this is the man's first game at first base, and Emmanuel Clase is a ground ball pitcher. But a big part of that, too, was that was the last game of the series where Jose knocked Tim Anderson out. And it was like, oh, can we please just win this freaking series?
Nobody's going to remember that the White Sox won the season series against us, but everybody will remember Tim Anderson getting knocked out.
Yeah, even though Jose doesn't want anybody to remember.
Right.
Poor guy.
He's 1-0 with a total knockout against Tim Anderson, but a no decision against Miggy.
I bet Jose hated that on the scoreboard.
Yeah, hopefully they didn't let him see it.
Yeah. Also, hitting maybe he didn't notice issues. Hitting solves a lot of issues. The fact that Calhoun's hitting pretty well, I think, makes up for any defensive errors he might make. And like, I have a feeling if Zunino had been the hitter he had been in the past, we wouldn't care as much about his pretty terrible defense behind the plate, because he'd be hitting home runs and, at least hitting above 200 consistently.
And props to Calhoun. He's really put in the work, and he's all right. He's been all right there. Whenever guys hit the ball hard down to the first baseman, I'm like, okay, that's getting through for sure. But like, he's been fine catching the ball when it's thrown to him. He's been fine, obviously, making the throws that he needs to. And that requires a lot of work. And they said that he's been coming in every day early to work with Mike Sarbaugh, our boy Sarby again. And obviously it's paying off.
And the team seems to like him too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
How well, can
I,
not like
I really do think that he and Laureano have, like, not, like, they've helped our lineup by being in it, obviously, but I think that, like, in general, that, like, their presence has helped our young guys a lot, and, like, I really do think, like, they're not just like, oh, well, we just got, like, we're just supposed to be bodies, and we got to, you know, like, they're really putting in the work, and they seem to like to be here, so I like that.
I mean, both Calhoun and Laureano won the game for us against the Jays, which is a big deal in my house.
I loved Laureano saying it's fun to be in a playoff race because I haven't been in one in a really long time, because the rest of the team kind of acted like we weren't anymore. I shouldn't say that. That's not fair because I'm not in the clubhouse and I don't know that. But the reports around the team at the trade deadline sure made it sound like they didn't think they were in it anymore. And it's
nice. I mean, Naylor faked his injury.
Yeah, I mean, but I hope that the other players heard Ramon Laureano say that and thought, man, we should try to win for this guy. Like, he's right. He hasn't been a part of this in a long time.
I like that he pretty much spoke for both himself and Calhoun, because he was like, you know, I've always wanted to play in the playoffs, and Calhoun hasn't done it since I think it was like 2014, 2015. But it's like both of them are really excited to be here and be a part of this team, which I love.
I think for Laureano, he just needed to get out of Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a good situation in Oakland. The team has no intention of trying to
win a single
baseball game.
I've had a former player express that through me, so.
Like, it's very clear that front office and that ownership has – and wants to lose 162 games every year. They really don't want to win anything because they really don't care. And the owner's already, I think, packed his bags, and I think he's living in Vegas right now, to be quite honest, because I don't think he cares about Oakland. Now,
that's how you cannot be romantic about baseball.
Now,
I hate that they're ruining a good movie.
It's just because, like, Fisher has no care. He's in it for the money, and – the front office has been trading away their top players for absolutely nothing. Like, they're not getting anyone in return for perennial all-stars.
But they have Miles Naylor.
I hope not for long. Well, I really liked what Ali said too about Laureano saying that, because I also think that not that our players wouldn't have wanted to be winning games or whatever, but I think that, like, even though they're young, a lot of them, like, were on this team last year or whatever and saw, like, we were really in a playoff, like, situation, you know? And, like, this year with being 6 games out or 7 games out or whatever at this point in the season, they could be, like, I don't know, like, him saying that is good for morale, because it's like, oh, yeah, we are still in a playoff race, right? Because it maybe doesn't feel like we are as much compared to, like, last year when we were contending a lot more seriously. So I think, like, hearing that from him is like, oh, like, we are still in a playoff race. Like, now I have, like, more motivation. Like, that's a good reminder. So, like, that's cool. But also, how sad is it for Laureano to, like, he comes here and he's still, like, 7 games out of first, and he's like, now I'm in a playoff race.
Oh, I know.
That, like, makes me sad.
We'll give you a real playoff race next year, Ramon. Hang around. Yeah. And you can tell, all of you have made great points, but I want to say too that you can tell this guy is super competitive. Like, he is just, like, so competitive. Even earlier in this game when they called that ball, it was a strike against him.
Oh,
he's immediately, like, not angry, but, like, turning to the umpire, like, come on now, come on.
Then there's that one game where he, like, what, dove for a catch, or slid for a catch that he didn't have to, and not that that cost us the game, but that was the end of the game. His reaction to that, it was like, okay, this, not that everybody else doesn't care, but you could really see just how much he cares.
That was the Cole Calhoun at first
the
game.
With his mitt.
That was the Cole Calhoun at first game, the same game.
It is time for Cole Calhoun to play first.
Jeez. What a time.
This is his new Shaw, but, like, not that, I mean, Shaw had his good moments, but, like, it's kind of working out this time.
It does strike me how much Tito loves Calhoun. Every time he talks about him, he just glows. And since this is going to be Tito's last season, I think we need to keep Cole Calhoun. We need to keep
him and let Tito be our new manager.
That's fine. We just
he's
need to let
around
Tito
in 24, just in a new role.
Tito
also,
enjoy,
like, I
playing
think,
the rest of the year.
I think my goal in life is to, like, have, like, if Tito ever could say, like, oh, Eli just really likes baseball and, like, glow, like, I would melt into the ground, right? Like, that's got to be, like, the highest compliment you can get from that dude. Like,
that's such a great point. That is such a great point. If Terry Francona says about you, that boy, that girl, that person just loves baseball, man.
You did it right.
Best.
Right. Like, you're living your best life. Like, that's your World Series right there.
That's such a great point. That's now my new goal. I had my car growth tell me that I should marry Chelsea. That's worked out great. Now I just need Terry Francona to tell me that I love baseball and life will be perfect.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, I'll let you enjoy the rest of this game. Hopefully enjoy the rest of this game. Thanks for joining me, and we'll talk to you next time. Only a few more GPLs until the season's over, so I'm going to cry.
Crazy.
Maybe we'll get to do postseason once.
Hey, oh, I got you to manifest Cole Calhoun doing something really good by saying his name several times fast, because me saying his name normally is a tongue twister.
Cole Calhoun. Man, now I messed up.
Quincy,
I did
it
five
messed
times
it
earlier.
Up.
I messed up.
So now he's going to do something good. And also, I think you can do the same for a postseason.
Cole Calhoun. Even though I was about to close up, I was going to say earlier, came off the bases loaded. And I thought to myself, if he hits a grand slam, I'm getting a Cole Calhoun tattoo. So it's probably good that he didn't. Because I was like, just get a grand slam. Please, please, please.
I mean, at least you didn't say I'll name my child after him. So.
Oh, that's already a given. We're doing that.
Cole Calhoun Marie.
Yeah. In case anybody on the podcast didn't know, Chelsea and I are pregnant again. That's fine. We're going to have a baby girl in February. Cole Calhoun Marie Wheeler. Thank you for the name, Alyssa.
It's a good name. You're welcome.
Perfect.